I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Boone County Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, February 9th.
Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
You have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Boone County Auditor.
Good morning. Proud to welcome our new payroll deputy, Sarah Doty. She's not in here, she's working because it's payroll day, so.
You don't even give her time off?
No, not here. She's been down 3 days and put her to work, so.
She'll be quitting here in a day or two.
I hope not. And anyway, we want to welcome her, and then I just want to announce that we're still doing absentee voting for the Danville School special election, which is March the 3rd.
Seems like we've been doing absentee voting for a year.
And you know, the thing is we haven't received one absentee request for this one. It's a very small election. It's just their revenue purpose statement, which is important to them, but we haven't had anybody that I know of request or come in to vote absentee, but small elections, it's usually hard to get people to come in for that, so. Other than that, we're busy, and I also just want to remind, I sent out an email to all the department heads that their agenda items are due on Thursday, since Monday is a holiday and the courthouse will be closed. County offices will be closed. So they just need their agenda items by Thursday.
Would it make you feel any better? I could vote in the election for Danville. Would it make you feel better if I request an absentee?
Oh, I'm sure the girls would be thrilled. You can vote on election day too, Jim, if you want to. That's okay.
Thank you, Terry. I suspect the budget director is here for an agenda item.
You suspected correctly.
Colin Burks, IT.
Keeping busy like always, making some headway with our audio-video project up on third floor court. We have our vendor in this week, and they're doing the setup and programming on the audio equipment that up there today. Probably we're finishing that up tomorrow. Want to thank Rodney and Jack especially, and the rest of the maintenance guys. They really worked their tail off last week running, setting up all those speakers on the ceiling, and helping get those cables run, and those TVs mounted, and the projector and everything. And came together pretty well, and I think it's going to look pretty good. I think it's going to work pretty well, but they definitely put a lot of time in last week for that. So.
Yeah, that phone call said you had last week's feed going instead of this week's. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but they can't see what's going on.
All right, I'll say something later. But other than that, that's all I got to report.
Okay, is it going to be online when they open the course for trials? Will we be ready then?
Yeah, we should be. Okay. Hopefully everything going here by the end of the week.
I can see Lisa smiling through her mask.
Very much so.
Sorry, Colin, want to make sure you knew that, just in case that had to be done immediately.
Okay.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Just to piggyback on Colin, I really want to thank his guys and the guys in maintenance for helping us get this going. It's been a long process, but ultimately it is going to be a great contribution to the Des Moines County court system. Even once COVID is over and we can go back hopefully someday to some sense of normalcy, this is just going to be a great system for the courtroom to have. It has been quite outdated for some time. And as attorneys who are trying to try cases with modern day technology, you know, we try a bulk of our cases with body cameras and car cameras from law enforcement, lots of surveillance videos, and the equipment that has been in there, it's been very difficult to do that sometimes. But this is just going to be a great thing for everybody to be able to have a 21st century system for our 21st century evidence. So I can't thank IT and maintenance enough for all of the work that they've done to get everything going, and hopefully it'll be all set up ready to go for whoever has to do the trial on Tuesday next week. So. Other than that, just trying to find somebody to fill my empty spots.
Thanks, Lisa. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I guess same old story to a certain extent. Weather's been our
our process, what we've been dealing with. Guys have been out a lot. I think Saturday was a great example. I think we ran motor graders to finish cleaning up from the 3-inch snow we got on Friday. The days run together, to be honest with you. And then we ended up getting snow that we weren't expecting. So then we called in our trucks and ran trucks that afternoon. So Sunday the guys came out, ran. It's been cold enough. Jim actually texted me on this subject. It's been cold enough with a little bit enough sun that we're not getting a great melt. I mean, the guys are getting it plowed off as good as possible, but it is truly just going to be winter driving conditions. Some roads clear off great. Some roads are tight. I mean, it's just, it can be kind of a random nature. It tends to be the further north you get, the harder we have with the wind. If there is even a little bit of wind, it just completely changes the dynamic of how it comes off of a road. So you're just going to have to drive accordingly. It's just the way it is. But in general, I think our roads have been passable. I mean, they're not dry pavement, but that's not our goal. Just oftentimes we can get it to that point. So, yeah, I think they were out. Well, I'm not sure. I remember the last time they weren't out as far as dealing with snow. It's just been busy. I appreciate all the guys' time. I know it's their job, and we all understand that, but it eventually wears a guy out when you're up at 4, 4:30, time and time, and you're working possibly 12 or 13 hours a day. So credit to them and their time and my superintendents for staying on top of it. The bridge contractor on 99 here has continued to make headway. Obviously, it's a little slower with the temperatures, but they've been putting some riprap in, and they're hoping, I heard the date yesterday, sometime maybe late next week, they're hoping to set beams. Wow. So that's great. That means Cheryl's going to have a big bill coming along, which means progress, which is all you can ask for.
Gotta hope we budgeted, yeah.
Yeah. Never talk. But
his contract's coming up.
So that's great news. Once they get those beams up, they can just start forming the deck, which is a long process. I mean, I'll be talking about forming the deck for a long while on that side of the bridge, but that's headway, and that's the kind of stuff they can do as long as it lets the weather lets them work. So I want to mention something legislatively. As you guys know, the county engineers have a legislative liaison. It's one county engineer. I give him a ton of credit because keeping up on legislation this time of year, I don't know how he does that and his regular job, to be honest with you. And I guess every year I get to complain a little bit. Every year there's some sort of a bill that comes along, and when you look at your state legislature, you wonder how in the world they have problems to worry about what you're doing when they can't figure out their own business. There is a House file 32 out there. There's probably a Senate file too. I can't claim to have even read. I printed off this morning. It's titled Road Salt Use Reduction Program. Yes. From what I read, it's the underlying tone is to try to force the industry or our state towards using organic and naturally produced things here. I'm sure towards grain and ethanol and all that sort of stuff. But the thing is that right now there's just not a ton of that in our industry. I mean, across the nation you're using salt. I mean, and we're all happy to start looking at things when the economics dictate it or when it's a better product. But there is something out there. I would certainly hope it doesn't have any legs to it. I'm going to read through it. I'm probably going to email off to our legislators and just tell them that, you know, I guess I appreciate their thoughts. I when I fill up at the gas pump, I certainly use ethanol.
They're out over their skis.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's there. It talks all the way through the bill about a mandatory 5% reduction every year.
We don't need a county engineer anymore, do we?
Obviously somebody doesn't have enough to do. Or they're not the one that has to worry about how to get the roads to a drivable condition. So because nobody that has to watch their budget wants to use any more salt than they have to. So I just wanted to mention it to you because it's, and it also, of course, has additional reporting requirements. So, you know, one more thing you're supposed to keep, somehow keep a tally on. So it just seems like yet another headache. I hopefully it's dead and doesn't go anywhere, but I'm going to mention it just that we don't need additional headache oversight or whatever you want to call it on winter maintenance of all things. So,
what is that, a salt brine that they're spraying on our highways?
Well, and that's the state DOT, and I, again, we don't do that. Again, it's a budget, and I personally, I think it's a condition issue for our pavements too. I think it does deteriorate, but that's a decision I make, I guess, as the Des Moines County engineer. I don't know. I don't think the legislature wants to start micromanaging winter maintenance, personally. So I'm probably going to express that.
They've done so well with derating bridges.
Yeah, they...
And then allowing bigger trucks.
Yeah, it's just, they got plenty of issues. This doesn't seem like the area they need to be in. So anyway, I'm going to pass that on to our legislators. I thought I'd mention to you, in case you speak to any of them or cross paths with any of them. I just assume they stay out of this one, so.
I'll pass that along to the ones that talk to me.
Yeah. So,
which is not a whole lot.
Anyway, I did put a road tour on the back end of today's agenda, only just so if you guys, it's been kind of, again, it's turned into a long winter, I guess. December wasn't too shabby other than some ice, and January wasn't horrible till the tail end. But if you guys had any calls, any concerns, anything at all, I just threw it on there in case you guys had anything you wanted to take a look at. So that's the only reason it's on there. I just wanted to let you know, but as always, give us a call if you have anything. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Just a couple things today. This afternoon kicks off our first Hike the Park series. It's a bi-weekly series. We're going out and just going on hikes throughout our parks. We'll be doing this until I think late spring, early summer. Got them every other week in the afternoons. I know it's a little cold out, but you get out there and stretch your legs a little bit. You warm up pretty fast, dress for it. So we'll be doing these. It's our naturalists or our nature centers doing these. This first one is at Hunt Woods. And just, you know, getting out there and walking these, because we have a lot of trails that just, you know, they're just natural surface trails through the woods. And it's really neat this time of year to get out there and see what kind of tracks you can find and stuff like that. And then we've got these owl prowls, which those have all filled up. I had to let the dog out of two this morning, and there was an owl in my yard pooping away. So I think these owl prowls ought to be pretty neat events for folks. And then there's something else that I wanted to talk about, and I kind of forgot what it was.
Road salt.
Yeah. The guys are just using too much road salt. You know. So I wrote this bill and sent it to my legislator.
I guess
I should have talked to you first, Brian. Sorry about that. We do have a couple positions posted now. Our internships, we got those posted both for our nature center and our field team, and these part-time technician positions, we just got those posted as well. And so if anybody's looking to work for conservation, the postings are on our website and on mycountyparks.com. And that's it.
Well, are you guys looking for more owl prowls?
Probably not. We added one more beyond what we originally had, and so we pretty much booked up the month now. Once you get past February, they kind of start slowing down a little bit. Next year, though, I think we are, because we're working on kind of our strategic environmental education plan, we do plan on doing more of them next year. So maybe even just making a weekly event. Okay.
Thanks, Chris. Ken Heinman, Community Services.
Good morning. Well, tomorrow's our SEAL meetings, our change agent, governing board, and advisory boards. I know Ryan, a few days ago, sent an email saying, asking do people want to meet at the Henry County building, emergency management building, or does everybody want to meet by Zoom again like we've been doing? I haven't heard back yet, so I'm kind of wondering what the claim, whether they want me to drive the claims over there or not, but we'll figure that out. It's on the agenda for them to decide. If they want us to, you to sign the claims again, Tom, I'll just get them to your box tomorrow after the meeting. So that's all I have right now.
Thank you, Dan. Kevin Glenn Denny, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning. Things are going well at the sheriff's office. Nothing major to report. Correctional center, it's trickling down. We're at 79 total population. I think 11 are out of county. Doing well out there as well.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, that's nice to see it go that direction.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. I want to thank Terry, the auditor's office, and IT, Colin and I, his team, for helping us out. We've been posting a lot of things on the website and trying to get more information out there for the community. We've been posting things on COVID vaccinations on our Facebook page as well. We did just have a COVID vaccination clinic on Saturday at Great River. They've been great partners for us, really helped us out with this. I want to thank emergency management for helping with the volunteers. And CBS actually sent out a bus and a driver for 3 hours to kind of help us maneuver folks who are 65 and older from the parking lot to the front door of the hospital. So we were able to give over 500 vaccinations Saturday. We were planning on doing more, but hearing the weather that was coming in, we felt like that probably wasn't in a safe environment. So we ended about 3 o'clock, actually about four.
Were these people that were on a list that got vaccinated? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the wait list, there is a number people can call. It's at 319-208-5668 number. It is a recording that says if you're interested in being on the COVID vaccination list, please leave your name, date of birth, and a telephone number where we can reach you at. And I have to really emphasize for people who are calling from cell phones, this is a recording, so when we try to listen to this, if you're calling from a place that the reception is not good, it may be very difficult to get your name or even the telephone number. So I really encourage people to make sure that they have a good reception when they're calling on cell phones and to speak slowly, because obviously we have to try to then take that recording and make sure we write that down. So when they leave that name and number, in the order that it is put on there, when we get vaccine, we call. So if we get 100 doses of vaccine, we call the first 100 people that called. If we get 200, we go down to the list of 200. I will say we currently have over 3,000 on that list, and we've already had the list off of that call is over 3,000 currently of messages that are current on there. We take any messages off that line. We take 100 off, we get 200 more, but we still, so we have close to 4,000 people on a wait list currently. We are excited to say that we are getting more vaccine, and so the next people on that wait list will get a call. We're hoping to do that tomorrow, and we're still working out. We're going to do that in conjunction with the hospital because we've been getting the visor, which is the ultra cold. So we're hoping to have that, and hopefully again on Saturday. We always want the weather to cooperate as well, because what happens, like this last Saturday, we were hoping to get more vaccines given. But the weather was just, you know, the polar vortex or whatever, the super cold, and we had snow coming. So we didn't go as long as we were going to. Otherwise, we were going to go later in the day. So we are making progress, and we hope to continue as soon as we get the vaccine to get clinics scheduled. Sometimes that means people don't get a whole lot of notice, because we get a notice that says vaccine's coming. We take it, and it could be there in a day. So it means that we're rushing around calling people. Because a lot of that stuff we don't know ahead of time as far as what's going to come. They did say that as of last week, there was an expectation that in order to get new allocations for vaccines, that everyone who receives vaccine has to have used 80% of it. And we've done it very consistently. The minute we get our vaccine, we're using it. And that's part of the reason that we are adding on these clinics to make sure as the vaccine comes in, it's used. So we're in line for the next allocation, because I think what they were looking at, they were a little concerned that throughout the state, people were maybe not using it as quickly. I can assure everyone we're using it very quickly once it comes. In our county, we have already given 4,043 doses of vaccine. Recipients by county, so people who live in the county. So we've given 4,043 vaccines, and 3,698 of those are Des Moines County residents, because the state does not require that you live in our county to get the vaccine. So people who may live outside the county but work in Des Moines County may sign up to get the vaccine here, and that's why we have that difference in the number. We have completed, which means completed series, they've had both shots, is 1,239. We do have currently our 7-day rolling percentage of COVID is 6%, which is 49 cases. And for 14 days, it's 8%, which is 109 cases. So really want to, I know there's been some changes in the mandates, but really encourage people with these numbers being as low as they are, the mitigation strategies are definitely working. So really want people to consider that, the social distancing, wearing those masks. I know it's not mandated, but really encourage people to continue to do that, because as long as we can keep those numbers down and continue getting that vaccine given, that'll help us get to that normal.
Would you say that you could use help during this? I've had people reach out, and some of them, I just heard from Dr. Foster this morning. He said he would be more than glad to help out. He's got 8 to 10 hours, or I don't know, 16 hours a week that he could donate. Lori Weiss sent me a message as well, and she said she has a group of people that she says they're ready to help out if there's any need to for a call. So I don't know how we get that out, or how we utilize these people to make this process work out a little bit smoother. But I know that there are people that are ready. I can forward you those.
Sure. Absolutely, that would be great. And we can use help, and a lot of times we can use help. So over the weekend when we did that vaccination clinic at the hospital, we had, I'm going to say, between 20 and 25 volunteers. So obviously most people can't always donate a full Saturday, but definitely encourage people that are interested either to email you and you can forward that. We will call them, because there's going to be a lot of vaccination clinics. We can use help. So what we have is people come in the door, they sign up, we make sure they have their information, which is the forms that Terry posted on the website. If they don't have them when they come in, we have readers that give it to them, and they can read it and then fill it out. So there's multiple stations, and those do not have to be manned by healthcare professionals. They can be, but they could also be anyone in the community who's interested in maybe volunteering sometime. The more volunteers we get, the larger clinics we can do, and the quicker we can get people through. And we did average over 100 people an hour this weekend. So we'd like to increase that even. So,
just one quick question. How'd that message go out that you had these shots coming out this weekend?
So that message did not go out, because we have 4,000 people on the wait list. We called those people.
Okay.
And so what we do is we call. So it's kind of labor intensive, but we get all this. We have great secretarial staff, and we pick up the telephone and say, look, we need you to come between 9 and 9:30. You're the first 50 on the list, 9 and 9:30. Next 50 on the list come between 9:30 and 10. So we're not putting out that message, because it's not open to anyone who's not on the list. It's the next person on the list. So.
One other question.
Sure.
I know this is going to be hard, but I've been asked this several times. Do we know where we're at on the list? I know there's numbers that keep being added, but do we know where? Well, obviously I guess we wouldn't know, because you've got, okay.
See, and one of the challenges we have is when people call and they say, where am I at on the list? And that's a great question. It really is. The problem is we'd have to go through 4,000 people to figure out where they're at on the list and try to count that. So I ask everyone to please be patient. We are definitely getting down that list as quick as we can. Our goal is to keep moving that list along so that we get more vaccine, because the more we give, the more vaccine we get. So we are doing our very best.
The problem is you can't put that list on the website because of HIPAA.
Yes, yep.
And people don't understand that. You know, that's been a problem. Well, why can't they put it on there? I said, it's on county HIPAA.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody would want their date of birth and their telephone number, or even the fact that they're signing up for a vaccine out in the public. So, yes, that makes it very difficult.
I did hear from somebody that had vaccination Saturday that it was really well organized and passed along their thanks for congratulations. Said it really would, said you just glowed through there. They were really impressed.
Wonderful, thank you. Yeah, it really went well. We were saddened to see the weather that was rolling in. We could have gone through much more vaccine, but you know, sometimes you have it just did not turn into a good environment in the afternoon. So it was a good thing we didn't go any later than we did. Thank you.
Thanks, Krista. Got anybody online?
I have two. First one I have on here is Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. But I have nothing new to report.
Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Zach James, Land Use.
Zach James, Land Use.
Good morning.
Sound a little rough.
You just woke up.
Are you not in
town? Get waked up.
Or just rolling out of bed, one or the other. Nothing too significant. We've got several new subdivisions that are receiving plats for. We're just waiting on the applications before we can go through the review process. And I believe we do have one out for review right now that we're going to plan to have on the agenda for next week. And I do know we're going to try to have a thing for the agenda as well to reappoint a member to the Board of Adjustment. So those will be coming up next week. And other than that, not a whole lot else new to report.
Thank you, Zach.
And
miss anybody? Okay. Correspondence. And I have none.
I have none. We'll proceed. You took care of all my correspondence for me.
Thank you. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have preliminary letter.
Tom and I have been working over the phone on this budget, and I think we have everything pretty much in the system, and all the numbers are worked out the best that they can be for now. So we thought we better spend a few minutes at least going over where we're at right now. So general basic, we're looking at leaving the levy rate at 3.5, which you have to be at 3.5 or you can't have a general supplemental levy.
We've worked for a long time to get the general basic rate down to 3.50, because that's the state mandated rate. You aren't supposed to go over that unless you give them excuses that, you know, whether it's TIF or whatever reason it is for going over that. You can be over it for a while, they won't let you be over it forever. So we were happy to get that to general basic, and we're at 350 and we need to stay there. General basics, the fund that covers almost all the payrolls, not secondary roads or mental health, but it covers most of the payrolls, most of the general budget items, utilities, mileage, gas, fuel, stuff like that. And so general basics, if you have behaving okay. Go ahead, Cheryl.
General supplemental, that is where DESCOM will be funded out of next year. So we are looking at an increase of 64 cents, which just barely covers the DESCOM budget. And with that 64 cent increase, we would have an ending fund balance of $526,778 in general supplemental. We will need $636,966 in that fund balance just to make that first half payment to emergency management to cover her budget and DESCOM's budget. So we may have to talk to them about giving them quarterly payments instead of
I can't imagine it would be a problem with DESCOM if we paid them quarterly instead of
It's the only way, you know, the numbers may turn out a little bit better than that, but general supplemental doesn't have any fluff in it, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
We just added a million some dollars to that, the DESCOM budget, which is exactly 64 cents a levy.
Yeah.
And you need to have some sort of an ending balance. We didn't have an ending balance for it there previously. We had an ending balance, but nothing like you'd need with this. So, and I went through that because we don't need an ending balance for a little over half of it because it's debt service funded for the insurance. But for general, besides DESCOM, emergency management, general supplemental handles FICA, IPERS taxes, you know, Medicare, Social Security taxes, group insurance, the workman's compensation and liability taxes. That's pretty, we used to cover election expenses, but those are in general basic now. So I think that pretty much covers up what's in general basic. So we had to, we included, we are fully responsible for the DESCOM budget now. So we had $1,116,468.
So mental health will stay about the same. They'll go up just a skosh. They're at 0.93 right now. They'll go to 0.93653. So hardly any movement there.
That's the state mandated cap on mental health and disability services for our region is $4,260 per capita, and that is $4,260 per capita.
Yep. So and then we have debt service. So right now we're at $2.10. We're looking at possibly $1.93. That would be a 17-cent decrease.
We're thinking we might be able to get a little more out of debt service. We've got some good prices on that bridge, and the bridge will be finished with any luck. We'll be finished this summer, you know, mid to late summer, early fall. So, and that's gone well. So I'm thinking we might be able to get even a little more than that 17 cents out of debt service.
With the 17 cent decrease, we would still have over $1 million ending fund balance.
Yeah.
And that's paying off the bridge.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have to do a long-term debt on that.
Right on, yeah.
So we may be able to shave a little more off of that. What we need to be aware of, though, is that we could be looking at a huge increase in health insurance next year. Because this year, health insurance went down because of COVID, because everybody's doctor's appointments and, different things they had scheduled were canceled. So there's going to be a lot of people running to, you know, get tests done or have surgeries that were, you know, put off this year. So we could be looking at some health insurance increases, which is basically funded out of debt service because of the line of credit. So we need to probably carry some fund balance in debt service to get ready for that. And rural services is going down 34 cents, but overall the rural levy will be going up 13 cents.
Rural services, we took DESCOM out of that, and that their share of what they've been paying for DESCOM is just exactly 34 cents of their levy. So they, since that entirely went to a countywide general supplemental levy, we took that off there. So their rural services levy goes from 395 to 361, but the there's an increase in general supplemental 64 cents, and then hopefully we can offset that by somewhere around 17 cents in debt service, so that the rural service levy will go up just a little over 1%, about 13 cents. Anyway, thank you for all this, Cheryl.
You're welcome. Thank you for all the phone calls. It's very helpful. So. So basically where we're at this point is we need to set the public hearing date for the Senate File 634, which is just a notice to the public on what the actual tax dollars are for the general fund and for rural services. And once this is published, we're allowed to decrease those tax askings. We cannot increase them. And this will go to the papers on Friday, so this week.
and it only affects general basic and general supplemental and rural services. The levies for mental health and debt service are not included in this. That's the state, in their infinite wisdom, decided a year or two ago that they were going to reform property tax laws a little bit, and they were going to create an additional public hearing, and some, by the time they got done, all they've got is this says, okay, it's, if you don't know that the levy is multiplied times your taxable value, and if your taxable value goes up, your total tax paid is going to go up, they're going to have the county do that calculation for you and put it in the paper, and I'm sure that all of about two dozen people that already know how it works will read it.
Well, you know, so many times you read that, you know, the city lowered their levy rate or the county lowered their levy rate. Well, it doesn't mean they lowered their tax asking.
Yep, right.
Because if their values went up, their levy rates
right up.
Should have went down.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. So this is what the publication will look like if you guys agree to keep those levy rates the same. And this will go into, be sent out on Friday. And it basically just shows you the total tax askings for the current year, and then the budgeted year, and what the percentage increase or decrease is. So we would be looking at a 17.93% increase in the general funds because of the DESCOM, and a 6.32% decrease in rural services because of DESCOM. So my explanation is DESCOM is now funded by the general supplemental levy through the emergency management budget. DESCOM's budget for fiscal year 22 is $1,116,478. So that is my explanation. If you'd like to add more or less, please let me know. That will be published with this notice.
That's pretty much the entire difference.
That's the entire thing right there. That's it.
Nothing beyond that. So,
hey, Cheryl.
Yep.
One subject you and I never have talked about. We've talked about rock a number of times, but I assume you just held your dust control.
That's the same.
That's the same.
Yep.
We never did talk, so I wanted to verify it before you said that.
90,000. So.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
That looks like it'd be about dead on just from a rough calculation of my end.
Okay.
So.
Look good to me.
Excuse me. So we need a resolution to set the to set a time and date for the total maximum property tax dollars public hearing. So if be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and place for a public hearing on the total maximum property tax dollars public hearing for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom at the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice and estimated summary as required by law. This resolution shall take effect immediately. So if you guys want to set that budget, and if these numbers are okay, so that Cheryl can publish them.
I move to approve the resolution. I'm getting into the, look down there at the preacher here, I'm getting into Revelations here. Resolution. To set the date on March the 2nd.
A second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yeah.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Thank you again, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Thank both of you for doing all that hard work.
Okay. We have the City of Burlington request to release property taxes for parcel at 1321 Ganon Street. Primarily nuisance abatement taxes, I assume, for Burlington Mowing.
assume that's.
ERC, anyway, so. So the 2019 real estate taxes are $20, but there's about $1,800 of nuisance abatements, so.
And they have to request to abate their own nuisance abatements, so.
We can't refuse them, so they're really not much. So we need a motion.
Move them.
Did you second, Shane?
Yes, sir.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes, please.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
That'd be terrible, have to pay taxes on your own mowing, wouldn't it?
We have an appointment. The Jackson Township Trustee to the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors. I'm requesting your approval for a 4-year term appointment expiring on December 31st, 2024. The Jackson Township Trustee, Mike Pogemiller, 18765 22nd Avenue, Burlington, Iowa.
I'm going to approve, Mike. Second.
Terry?
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have the 2021 Pioneer Cemetery Commission officers and members. This doesn't have to be approved. Don't we just receive this, or?
Yeah, I think you usually do. Just
receive it. It's the.
You can go ahead and prove it.
Okay. It's the. At the Pioneer Cemetery Commission meeting held by emails on December 12th, members selected Herb Price as the chairman, Steve Stotler as vice chairman, and Wendell Biggs as the secretary treasurer for the 2021 calendar year. Terms of Paul French, Kenton Clank, and Michael Allen were approved for 3 more years until January meeting of 2024. And the 9 active members and the expiration date of each are listed in the attached membership list. The list also includes associate members.
I move to be approved. Second.
Terry?
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Okay, we have an approval for the board chairman to sign a waiver of conflict of interest from Lynch Dallas. And I believe we might have the actual waiver of conflict of interest here. Des Moines County and Lee County, do you want to go through the agreement you and Lee County have made?
Yeah, I'll just briefly summarize it. This is a request kind of to me from the Lee County engineer in the big picture. I shouldn't say just the agreement isn't, but I've mentioned this to the board before, although I don't remember if I've said it while Shane's been here. I was contacted by Lee County back in December. Their board had asked their engineer to look into an agreement with a neighboring county as far as just kind of being a backup to each other in case COVID were to take out enough employees that snow removal became an issue. I've said this before, I'd say it again, if any of our neighbors or even maybe a county beyond our neighbors needed help, we would take steps to help them if we had the ability anyway. And I told Lee County that, but they wanted the engineer to work towards an agreement, which is fine. So they use Lynch Dallas as their law firm. We also use Lynch Dallas. But Lee County had Lynch Dallas develop, or are having them develop, 2080. I've seen it, it's basic, it's pretty generic, and it's back up at Lynch Dallas, which you can tell from this waiver that's come along because they're putting some final touches on it after the engineer and I kind of put some notes into it for answers they needed. So that would eventually come before you guys also whenever that 2080 is ready. And like I said, all it is just basically saying, yeah, we'll help you out or they'll help us out if our numbers require that. So, and again, it's all COVID-related. It's not a long-term, hopefully, not a long-term situation. So Tom got a call last week, I believe. I wasn't aware of it, but it makes sense that because they represent both of us, they're more on the labor side for us. Maybe they do a lot more. I think they do more for Lee County than they do for us, I guess. But we lean on them too for a few other things. That there was a conflict of sorts because of representing, even though we have different attorneys representing us within the same firm, there's a conflict on their part of it, and they wanted us to be aware of it, and wanted the chairman to sign a document, I guess, absolving them of that conflict issue, or making sure we understood it, or however you want to put it. As of Friday, when we had to do agenda items, we didn't have this document. So the title of the agenda item was assuming it wouldn't come through, and this was just, they needed it signed to finish the document, so this was just going to give the board, give the chairman the right to sign it whenever the document came along. And I think either Friday night or Saturday morning the document came along in an email. So so the title was made up before I had the document to look at. I think they're close enough that it's a good enough situation. So basically you guys are approving the chairman to sign the waiver of conflict so they can produce a 2080, which is kind of a long mess of saying we'll help out Lee County.
I make the motion that we approve the chairman to sign the waiver of conflict interest for Lynch Dallas.
A second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't know why the chairman's signature is any better than anybody else's. Because you can't read mine.
Did I say that out loud?
You can't read mine.
It's illegible. So anybody could have done that.
Nobody has your scribble
technique. There you go.
Okay, we have reports. We have the report from General Assistance for January 2021 and the recorder's report of fees collected for January 2021. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office, available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of February 2nd, 2021. Do we approve?
Second.
Terry?
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items?
I have none.
Committee reports?
I have none.
I attended a meeting of the Mental Health Region stakeholder meeting, and we discussed the workforce shortage. Would that be a fair assumption? That's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, due to limited seating, we've made available to contact the board by email at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D at dmcounty.com. Or you may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or email.
Anybody for Bob D, the Super Bowl peanut.
Anybody? Yes. Yeah. Call on Mike.
Right. I'll need just a second.
I only need 4. Michael Cecil, 2815, Herblow. As a member citizen of Des Moines County. I want to thank you and everybody for all your incredible work on the budget. I know it's tedious and difficult to make those decisions. Thank you.
Mr. Carter? I'm sorry, Chris. The next time somebody throws the word organic at you to try and manipulate you, just remind them that organic, it means a hydrocarbon, like gasoline, ethanol. Those are organic.
I think he called me Mr. Carter. What do you think about that?
Same answer. I want to hear. What do you think about that?
It's not good.
I mean, they want you dumping gasoline on the roof to get rid of the snow and ice.
I mean, previously, it did have snow.
Then why didn't it?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Anybody else?
If I could.
Sure.
So help me understand this Descom thing a little bit better, and I apologize if this has been clarified in the paper. I don't read the paper a whole lot. So previously, Descom was spread across cities and the county, right? How was that formula calculated?
Depends. Originally, it was supposed to be per capita, but they sort of threw Middletown at the county, and a portion of Mediapolis and Danville's Descom budget, the county was going to fund. And everything was going to be per capita. Well, two things wrong with that. The per capita, if it goes to any incorporated city, it has to come out of general fund. But when that agreement was made about 4 or 5 years ago, the intent, as you read it, was for per capita funding, and the county had it in the general basic. It had been in the sheriff's budget for decades. Anyway, it was never caught. There's like 3,500 line items in the county budget. So as soon as we heard that Cheryl and I discovered that, we immediately changed it and left the portion that was gonna go to Middletown, Danville, Mediapolis, we left that in general basic and moved all the portion per capita that rural citizens into the rural services budget. So, and that's where it is right now. Then, after extensive discussion, in which I got my butt kicked, the cities voted, you know, to have the county fund the whole thing. And so we're funding the whole thing. And it comes out of general supplemental. It has to come out of a general account because that's spread over the whole, everybody in the county pays that. Rural services budget is only paid by individuals that are live outside of incorporated cities. The rural services levy is similar to the Burlington levy, is that only affects citizens that live within corporate limits of Burlington or West Burlington or Mediapolis or Danville or Middletown. Is that so in some of those entities, like the way I understand it, I don't know all of them, are going to take the DESCOM, what they were paying for DESCOM, they will take that off their levy. And so we're taking it off the levy because the people that live in unincorporated areas are not going to be having it taken out of them, just like the city, and it gets entirely put on the countywide general supplemental levy.
So the cities that were levying it through their general funds, it will come, theoretically, it will come off of that levy. So those living inside of an incorporated city won't pay that tax via that mechanism, but will through the county.
Correct.
Supplemental.
Correct.
So in practice, how will that, so on any individual's particular tax bill, will those living in a rural area end up paying more than what those in the city?
Yep.
Okay.
How much is that?
How I thought how this is going to
Well, this was part of my losing argument, is that instead of per capita, if you pay, everybody pays to the city or to the, it was about $28 per capita. With the county funding all of it, you know, through its general levy, that moves the residents of unincorporated areas
up to around $47, and if you live in Burlington, down around $19.
And we had no recourse in the cities.
Just, well, you know, I can editorialize. I'm just telling you, I've been through this quite a while, and even raised my voice once or twice, and all to no avail. And this is
I was there. I heard
it was
it was great
legal to do this, and this was what they wanted. So this is what's happening.
I remember you talking about when this was all going down of having the county having either more seats at the table on the board or more control over the Descom board because the county's funding this whole thing. Did that shake out?
Well, my proposal that the county have the bulk of membership on that board was met with the moves and welcome. Anyway, so
what he was going to use. This is great.
So what ended up is that the Emergency Management Commission is going to be the DESCOM board, and the Emergency Management Commission consists of the sheriff, one member of the Board of Supervisors, and the mayors or their elected representative from each of the incorporated cities. So
how many incorporated cities do you have? Four?
You would have five. You would have Burlington, West Burlington, Minneapolis, Middletown, and Danville.
So that's
five incorporated cities.
Okay.
Plus then, so you'd have five, six, seven people, and you would have the sheriff and then a member of the Board of Supervisors, so that is currently me. Anyway, so I have editorialized about my feelings about this several times over the last few years.
Sure. This board, then the county, from county department representation, you've got the member of the Board
two
of Supervisors
out of seven.
And a sheriff. And then
2 out of 7.
Five. And yet the county is on the hook for the entire budget, but
that's the losing argument I made.
Okay.
And quite honestly, it's the losing argument Kevin made.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just trying to understand.
No.
I'm just visited though. Do you?
What?
I don't see how that won't be revisited down the road. Honestly.
Oh, I don't think there's any inclination.
At this point, I think it'd be up to the Emergency Management Commission.
Yeah, if they wanted to.
Something that interestingly just happened is Mahaska County, there is a district court ruling that said that a commission, say like a DESCOM or a E911 board, cannot enter into a 28E. Only the municipalities or the counties can. So the 28, and it's not, Lisa would know more about this, but it's not considered governing law across Iowa, it's a district court. But it's definitely going to be taken into consideration. So the E91 service boards and PSAPs, the public safety entering points, are there's about 30 of them across Iowa that have 28Es that are in jeopardy of not being valid.
So a commission can't enter into a 28E?
Because of the language in 28E and Iowa Code 28E, where it says that does not cover a commission.
I don't know that the emergency management is 29C, I believe.
Right. So it was.
But I don't think they're a member of the commission. Is not a member of the 28E. I think it's just the cities and the county.
Correct.
It was the old
way.
They have
to be a governing body in order to enter into a 28E. Yeah.
The old way that DESCOM was going to do it would not have been valid. Of entering, remaining a 28 or remaining a commission and having that 28. But now with the Emergency Management Commission being the governing body of DESCOM, that to me would be valid. So it would fall in the hands of Emergency Management and their votes as to how that moves forward.
Sometimes when we have a few moments, we can talk about that. But as of right now, I don't foresee anything happening. When we had the discussion about what you were saying about there was a reluctance on the part of the incorporated cities to release any power into the hands of the county.
Yeah. Thanks for dealing with all of that, Tom.
But I don't have to deal with it. I
must have been nice in there.
But anyway, that's what happened. So the
per capita. And it doesn't, anyway, it's all history. We haven't had any calls. Any other public comment?
Thanks for explaining that.
Well, then I were adjourned.
All right.
We're adjourned.